close to September now. How do you like the team's chances?
Oh, you know, it's the best time of year. Definitely excited, and I like our chances a lot. You know, just keep going one day at a time.
How do you evaluate this trip overall?
I thought it was great. You know, we played some really good teams. It was a long road trip, and you know, definitely happy to be back home. But yeah, overall, you know, we'll take it. I think we're 7-3 or something like that, and you know, definitely set ourselves up for you know, a good run here. And yeah, I thought it was great overall.
Good about this road trip overall, 7-3, and the tough teams you mentioned that you played in.
Yeah, you have to feel good about it. You know, looking back, we knew what was in front of us, and you know, now we got to go home, and with the same mentality, we're gonna be playing in front of our fans. You know, and same, you know, really good Boston team coming into town. They're playing for something as well, and we got to be ready to go. I know the guys are excited to get back home and just take it one day at a time.
It's another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Sunday, September the 1st, 2024. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on X at TalkingMetsNoG and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. NoG, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You get me on Instagram, Talking Mets No G. And of course, don't forget the newsletter, substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to thank the good folks on the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. Welcome to another edition of the Talking Mets Podcast, the Labor Day edition of the program, the unofficial end of summer. Just like Memorial Day weekend's the official start of summer, the sun is getting a little lower earlier. Football is here. The fall is around us, just ahead of us. And before you know, there'll be that little chill on the pumpkin, and that'll mean postseason discussions and postseason baseball. And as of now, at about 8 o'clock here on a Sunday, as I come to you, the Mets are very much in the wild card hunt. Remains to be seen if they go into their first docket of games in September, into the Labor Day holiday, one or two games behind the Atlanta Braves, and a lot to talk about. The Mets getting business taken care of, the old taking care of business theme back when the Mets, that was their post-game after a victory song back in 2006 during the Willie Randolph era. You don't give them any kudos for beating the worst team in the history of baseball, soon to be the worst team in the history of baseball. Job well done. The interesting part about this road trip was that they were basically eight outs. They were up with two outs in the eighth inning twice, and they could have easily went 9-1, reminiscing, you know, as I mentioned, that 2006 season, the Mets that season were, you know, early in the year, they went 9-1 on a road trip to Arizona and Philadelphia and L.A. And very similarly, they could have, you know, done the same thing here as they wrapped up a three-game series with the White Sox, headed to 120 losses. You know, it's funny is when I was younger, you know, as I was thinking about this week and how football's upon us, I just had my fantasy football draft, and now you have that old, you know, meaningful games in September situation. And back when I was a kid, whether it be high school or grade school or obviously into college, you know, whether you got out, you know, college usually got out mid-May for your summer vacation, didn't go back to after Labor Day, or in grade school and high school, it was mid to late June. I know it's a little bit different now with the way schools are. But when the summer would start and you had basically the baseball season was heating up, it seemed like it was weeks and endless weeks of fun and summer and whatever you did during those years when you were a kid. And now, doing this show, and as an adult, I was talking to someone the other day, when I looked at the calendar, saw that school's going to be starting, September 4th, a lot of schools here in New York are going to be starting. Some of you across the country, if you're listening from outside the New York area, I know school starts earlier, but I'm saying to myself, where did this summer go? Felt like it was Memorial Day yesterday. We've been living maybe since pretty much the end of May, this wild Mets run. It was amazing to me as I'm thinking about that, and ironically, it pops up on X this morning that since 5/31, the Mets are 50-31. I think that's only second in all of baseball in terms of wins. That's a 100-win pace over a two-month period. And a lot of that happened pre-All-Star break, but the Mets haven't been bad since the All-Star break. They've been 23-18. And when you start to really look at this as you head into September, as you look at the task that's in front of the Mets have one of the harder schedules in the league in September. You're going to have games at home against the Phillies and the Braves, and they have to go to Milwaukee. They still have a road trip to Toronto. And, you know, yeah, they'll have maybe a little bit of a soft spot with the Reds and the Nats, but those aren't pushover teams either. And, of course, the Red Sox come into town with their great offense this coming week. So with what's ahead, and as you look at how the Mets have played, when you parse out this season, it's really, and I talked about this last week when I was talking about Mets mojo versus the Braves pitching, you know, heart versus numbers, really. And it really crystallizes as you come to the end of August, because that stat earlier that I saw on X about the Mets basically playing at 100-win pace over a half a season, very similarly to the 2022 team. I was going to say 06, and they played at 100-win pace all year as well. But when you look at that, you know the Mets are really not a 100-win team. I mean, it's hard to even fathom that they're actually where they're at when you start to look at everything that they've had to overcome or the situation that's in front of them. The lack of a lockdown ace up until recently, maybe up until, for whatever reason, something clicked with Manaea when he saw Chris Sale pitching a few weeks back at Citi Field. He dropped his arm angle, and maybe he's now Chris Sale. Maybe he's the ace. But for most of the season, they haven't had an ace. The total chaos in the bullpen, and I don't mean just Diaz. Reed Garrett and the injuries to Brooks Raley and Drew Smith, and you know how they've had to revamp the bullpen by bringing in guys like Maton and Brazenban and Stanek, and even now here on September 1st with Nunez being hurt and Diaz, even though he's looked good his last couple of outings after the awful loss to the Diamondbacks and the Corbin Carroll home run that he gave up. I mean, an elite talent, but when you pay a closer $20 million a year to be the highest paid or one of the highest paid, I don't know if Hader, I think, maybe surpassed him, but when you pay that kind of money for your closer, you expect him to be elite. You expect him in those situations to lock down the opposition. And when you know how bad he's been, how many games he's been a part of, I mean, really, I think there was a stat that if Diaz had converted his blown saves and losses, the Mets would be right there with the Phillies for first place. Now, that's hard, you know, to say, because every closer is going to blow two or three games, but Diaz has had a couple of seasons worth this year. And then you add in the peaks and valleys of the hitters. Alonso, J.D. Martinez. I'm off today. Jeez, J.D. Davis. Alvarez, he's in the dark forest. Nimmo, the up and the down. And you put this all together, the fact that this team is now 9 games over .500, on pace to win about, let's say, 85 to 86 games, right there with the Braves. You know, we'll see if San Diego comes back to the pack and Arizona's playing at a high level. You know, those teams have some challenges in their schedule. But where they're at right now, it's amazing, and it shows the way that Carlos Mendoza kept the team together, how David Stearns has clawed his way with that roster, rebuilding the bullpen, bringing in Winker, not being afraid to admit mistakes with guys like Beekman. And, I mean, they've done this without Kodai Senga. Imagine if they had Senga now with Manaea, how he's pitching. I mean, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. And it's also a pretty good 1-2 punch going into the postseason. Alas, that's not reality. But the real question, and I guess this goes back to the point that I'm making here in the open, is really what version of this Mets team are they really? And I think we've talked about it, but now we've seen another month go by. Now, I don't believe, like I said, they're the 100-win version since 5/31. And realistically, I see them as a team, and you saw it pretty much throughout this road trip. Take away the Chicago situation. Historically bad team. four out of seven games this team will win, which is about a 90 to 91, 92 win pace. They were 15-13 in August. That's at a 90-91 win pace. So you have these two extremes. You have, you know, a team that's on a 92 win pace, a team that averages out to 86. You have the 100 wins. When you blend it all together, really you have a team, as I've been saying for a while, that, you know, win about, you know, 86 games. And I'm not sure if that's going to be enough. And if you look up and down the schedule here in September, I'm not sure that you can expect the Mets to win more than four out of every seven games. You know, maybe have a couple of 10-game stretches with a 6-4, followed by a 5-5. And, you know, I think right now, when you see the good vibes after the Chicago sweep, the fact that they've accomplished one benchmark, which is since the offseason, Stearns has said that this team was going to be in contention down the stretch when everybody thought that he was crazy, that this was a reboot year, a step-back year, when they started out so bad the first weekend of the season and then, you know, straightened things out in April only to have a terrible May. And, you know, now here's a situation where, you know, if the Mets play 600 baseball, you know, something like 15-10, that puts them at about 88 wins. Now you're getting serious. So really the question is, can this team make the next step? The 4 out of 7 is nice, and you saw it on this road trip. The 4 out of 7 was nice, but just when they were about to go on a roll, a similar type of roll that you saw Arizona put in, and San Diego, and to a certain degree the Braves have had at times this year, even with their injuries. As soon as you saw that role kind of go into play, Buto coughs it up, and Diaz coughs it up. And that's kind of been the consistent theme. And look, you were thinking about it today, and I was thinking about it. Let's be honest. This was a perfect day for them to stub your toe. This was, when we talked about early in the second half, a stub your toe loss, the kind of losses that really stick to your ribs. You come out, a game you should win, you lose. This was a boilerplate special of stub your toe. Crochet, you knew, wasn't going to go deep into the game, but he's got incredibly good stuff. I don't know how he's going to stay healthy with those mechanics, that delivery. That's not the Mets' problem unless they decide to deal with him. But Crochet, to me, was, you know, short of the Lindor home run, which is tough. And it would have been really tough on the Mets if he had stayed in. Although the White Sox bullpen did their best Crochet impression. I mean, the Mets struck out, what, 16 times today. And you look at this game, not scoring runs. You know, Manaea didn't have his best stuff, although he battled throughout. It was funny thing, so did Quintana in the same situation the night before. Best pitcher on the squad there. And look, as soon as you get into a situation where it's a one-run game with a couple of runners on base, it doesn't matter that they're historically bad, the White Sox. They're still a professional baseball team. And all it takes is one hanging slider or one fastball down the middle to crush. And all of a sudden, you got yourself a heartbreaking loss. You knew that was also going through your mind when Benintendi came up, the real, probably the best pro hitter on this roster, against Buto last night as the winning run. You're like, this is where heartbreak happens. And the Mets, to their credit, avoided that. And now they have to continue as they go into September, as the competition heats up, to maybe take the next step. That step that they really haven't taken since they were hot in May into the All-Star break. Every time they could get on a nice run, something's happened. And it's usually related to the bullpen. And if they're going to be more like the 88-win team, the amount of wins I think they need now to make the playoffs, as the Padres and the D-backs and even the Braves they're pitching have dictated that the race is going to be at a higher level than we originally thought, higher than it was a year ago, the Mets have to step up their game. And it may be without a key piece of their bullpen in Daniel Nunez. It's probably going to require Mendoza piecing together some of the days when Diaz is not available, like he did last night. Phil Maton is going to have to continue to be what is an amazing pickup with how he's pitched. Great pickup by David Stearns. Be that really elite setup man that he's been. I mean, Ottavino seems to have come around. Even Danny Young at times, when he's been in there, has got the job done. Now, they make you hold your breath because they walk a lot of batters. And that's been the theme all year, the walks and the home runs. But so far, every time you think the Mets are about to be pushed out, and believe me, you were thinking about it like I was thinking about it after that Diaz crushing defeat in the second game in Arizona. If anything was a loss that would stick with them and spiral, it would be that loss. And not only did they go out the next day and win, they win in a big fashion. Diaz goes out and gets the save. So every time you see this team and you feel like they're about to turn for the worse, like you saw in May, they do something like they did with Peterson on the mound, or they overcome like they did today, a perfect game to stub your toe and win the ball game and finish the road trip 7-3. Something that I think everybody would have signed up for a week and a half ago when the road trip started. However, when you see the couple of stub your toe losses they had, you wonder what could have been. And now you really have to wonder, can this team play at a similar level, the 6 out of 10 level, instead of the 4 out of every 7, 5 and 5, maybe creep into the 6 out of 10, because you only have so much time left. You only have about 25 games left. So I think it's going to take 15 and 10 to get the Mets into the postseason. And even with that, you know, that would put them, right there with the Braves. You know, all the Braves have to do is finish 500 and go 87 and 75. So the Braves are in a really good spot. And the Mets, who have put themselves in a really good position, the only thing they've earned is the right to meaningful games in September and having to play at a high level against the Philadelphias and the Atlantas and the Bostons and the Milwaukees of the world as they round out the season and they close out the 2024 regular season schedule. So a lot to talk about. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sean Manaea has been a revelation, especially in the second half. Maybe the Mets have found their race, especially considering they're going to need some of their young pitchers' time to develop. Who would have thought this scrap heap pickup that wasn't even really pitching much in the postseason for San Diego a couple of years ago and was coming out of the bullpen in San Francisco throughout most of last year would be the revelation that he is. So we'll talk about that and more right after this.